Welcome to the Scare Guy Show, the official podcast of thescareguy.com, which is the scarier side of theconguy.com. We are coming to you straight from the nerdy, scary heart of Hollywood, California. We are writers, filmmakers, and movie buffs who bring you all the fun and frights of horror films, haunted attractions, fan conventions, and everything that is scary fun. And we hope you guys have a lot of fun with us tonight. My name is Jim Fry, your editor-in-chief and one of the horror hosts here on the show. But I'm not the only one. Who else do we have with us tonight? Let's start down with Danae, one of the con girls, but also, I guess, one of our final girls as well.
Yeah, because I guess since it's Scare Guy tonight, we are the final girls, and I'm here, and Katie is here as well, the other one. I'm Danae, I'm a writer, and you can find me on Instagram at DNAYS, and I'm just excited to talk about horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
Fun times.
Katie.
All right, yes. Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm Katie, aka KT underscore Christine, and I am the OG final girl here at The Scare Guy. Excited to launch, what is it, season four?
Season four. This is our premiere episode.
Yes, of The Scare Guy.
Yep.
Excited to get into a horror season. Hopefully, it will be much better than last horror season. But I guess last year, I jump-started the horror season with the two lovely people up front, up top, when we saw Friday the 13th right before everything shut down. So excited to come back and talk scary things.
That is the last thing we did before the horrible year that was 2020.
Yep.
All right, my compatriot in crime, Cheeseman.
Yeah, Cheeseman here, screenwriter and social media director for thescareguy.com. And excited to talk about Loween with y'all. That's on Jim's shirt. His microphone keeps covering the HA. Okay, now it's Halloween. It's not Loween anymore.
Loween. I love it.
Loween.
Well, if I talk too loud and I tap out, let me know and I can keep moving this microphone away from me. Hey, guys, I am excited. This show, I've been waiting to do the premiere of the Scare Guys show for quite some time. I know that 2021, we've been super busy. We've all still been kind of at home and working and trying to find different jobs, but we've officially started the Halloween season. This is our halfway to Halloween show. Tonight, we bring you a bit of a preview of what to expect in haunt and horror this year, especially here in Southern California, because I know that we are part of a weekend-long festival of halfway to Halloween shows, and this is really cool. As a special treat also, tonight we are going to feature our interview with Darren Lynn Bousman. He is the renowned director of Saw 1, Saw 3, I'm sorry, Saw 2, 3, 4, and the return to the franchise Spiral, which is now in theaters. It came out May 14th, and it's scaring up business. And he's just a super fun guy. Like Luke, I mean, you can attest, we had a lot of fun. He was super funny. Had a lot of funny stories. Some of them we can't actually listen to because, you know. But anyways, he's really cool. And then Luke and Danae, they were the, I guess you call it the horror hosts, at a recent halfway to Halloween speakeasy that we had here. And they did some video interviews. And you guys, we're going to share those with you because those were a lot of fun. But I just want to say we are so privileged to be part of the Halfway to Halloween Podcast Festival sponsored by the Horrific Network. It's a cool network of horror-themed haunt shows and a lot of shows that I listened to that I had no idea that were part of this network. And so this is kind of a privilege to be part of this. Our good friend, Jimmy Weinholz, he invited us to participate, and we could not be happier. And just like we said earlier, Katie kind of brought it up, this is our official premiere of our brand new season four of The Scare Guy. We hope that you will listen to us anywhere you listen to podcasts, as well as follow us on all social media. You can find our weekly podcast, The Con Guy, every week, along with The Scare Guy. We'll be on that hashtag show YouTube channel. So like us, follow us, subscribe, and hopefully we'll see a lot more of you guys this year. So, whew, that's a mouthful. I've been talking a lot. Let me just say this real quick, because halfway to Halloween is something that probably, I don't know, what, 4 or 5 years ago was the first time I had heard of it. It's a quote-unquote celebration that I was not used to. And Luke, you introduced me to it. When did you start celebrating it?
Halfway to Halloween?
Yeah.
I just thought about it. I didn't really ever really celebrate it or get into it. I'm just like, why do we got to wait a whole year to dress up crazy and have candy? So I was like, it's actually a thing.
Yeah.
Now, Katie, what about you? All year round.
Katie, when did you start recognizing it?
You guys had your halfway to Halloween May the 4th party. Yep. 2 years back. I think I dressed up as Wednesday Skywalker. Yeah, because I had a mashup of Wednesday Addams and Leia. So we're going to say Wednesday Skywalker. And that was the first time I officially celebrated halfway to Halloween. But I mean, after also when I started going to, you know, the summertime scare conventions, I think that's kind of where I also kind of started the kickstart to it. But as far as officially when I was like, oh, this is a thing, it's just kind of happened. Yeah. But I'm a Halloween all year round kind of person. If it was, you know, acceptable by the masses to always celebrate Halloween, I would do it every day. So, and I think
I'm going to do it. So. Danae, is this something new for you, halfway to Halloween?
I think the first time I heard about it was when you guys posted, the three of you posted last year when we were all in lockdown. So, of course, we weren't celebrating anything. But this is my first year actually, like, taking hold and embracing it and celebrating. So thanks for letting me be a part of it.
Oh, I'm so excited. Plus, we had the in-person, and before anybody wants to get on there and say, what, you met in person? Guys, we're all very vaccinated here, but even if we weren't, I think it's time for us to get over this idea that we need to point our fingers and be angry at people. We are coming out of this thing. We are coming out of it. We're not out of it yet, but that's what we want to talk about is, like, if we want to predict what's going to happen this fall for Halloween, it kind of depends on if we can all, you know, be safe and be out of this problem we're having, which is called COVID. I'm having a brain fart right now. COVID, the big monster that's been stalking us for the past year. It's not a funny thing, but you know what? Let's get rid of it. Let's just get rid of it. Let's have a great Halloween. And like Katie said, the first time she was celebrating halfway Halloween, I remember at our house, we were celebrating halfway to Halloween, the same weekend that we were doing the Cinco de Mayo, and the same weekend we were doing May the 4th. And for a couple of years, it was the same weekend that the big Marvel films were supposedly open. So it was like the Cinco de Marvel, de blah, 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 blah. What a great time to be alive, you know? It's great. To start off the night, though, Katie has some predictions about what this season's Halloween costumes might look like. What do you think, Katie?
So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see kind of what happens with Halloween. Obviously, it's still a little up in the air, but there are things opening up. And, you know, I think everything will change a little bit. But first of all, it was a massive year for Marvel. And we're used to seeing Spider-Man. We're used to seeing all the main superheroes at Halloween, especially with children. But I definitely think due to Falcon and the Winter Soldier and WandaVision, we are going to see a lot.
Yep.
A lot of costumes and cosplays, once conventions open again, related to both of those franchises. So I think we'll probably see some families, maybe a lot of families, who are doing the full WandaVision look with Wanda and Vision and twins. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a lot of opportunities there. And then, of course, Sam Wilson's Captain America is going to be massively popular. I think it's already goes without saying on that. Loki's not out yet. Don't know how that's going to go. But also, I do think because Star Wars is also making a big splash this year as well, we're going to see a lot more Obi-Wans than we have for like the last 2 years. When I was younger, there was a lot of Obi-Wans, but I haven't seen them as more now. But since his show is coming out, I think we're going to see a lot of that. I also think when it comes to the older crowd, we are going to see some creativity and ways to make COVID related puns, like, I don't know, a roll of toilet paper or something like that. I know it's a weird prediction to make, but I feel like there will be people who are trying to make some laughter out of the times that we've been through and being clever with their costumes pertaining to that.
A dumpster fire.
Yeah, exactly. Things like that. Ones that were related to it, but we can make a joke of, but still know that it's not necessarily in bad taste. It'll be a twist to be like, oh, we're finally out of this, but hey, remember when this happened, kind of thing. So, and not that we're going to be out of it, but the good thing about Halloween is if we are still wearing masks and all that stuff, which at this point, I believe we still will be, there are so many costumes that you can do with masks, and most haunt events and most conventions don't allow full masks in onto their property usually. But with COVID, we might see that change a little bit. And so embrace it, find a costume that has a mask. And just make it part of the look. It'll just bring to, I mean, Winter Soldier, Easy. Super easy. So, you know, I think that's going to be kind of what we can anticipate this season. But, you know, I might be wrong. Who knows? We'll see.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Danae or Cheeseman, do you guys have any predictions for the costumes we might see this year? Some of us were talking about one recently, and I cannot remember what it was. And I was like, oh, that would be perfect.
I just want Katie to make me a costume of being an empty shelf of toilet paper.
I mean, it seems pretty straightforward. But also, it could be a lot of, like, yeah. I mean, people have to be creative, but I mean, there's ways to do it. And I think with the big popularity that became, you know, TikTok was already big, but over 2020, it became massively bigger because none of us had anything else to do. We might see some more creativity flowing from things people find and things people do on TikTok. So,
yeah. Danae, any predictions?
I'm so bad at guessing any pop culture trend, and I'm like 6 months behind all the ones that we have now. So, no, I really don't have any. Sorry. I mean, you guys saw my costume at your speakeasy. I'm not the best at coming up with.
Wait. Your costume at our speakeasy was pretty amazing. Tell everybody what you became as.
Oh, I was Ernest Hemingway.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, it's not exactly like on trend, though. I don't think that's going to be like the super popular thing to go as. It was fun. I really wish Derek, the other half of the Samblings, could have come as Gertrude Stein, but he was busy that night. But yeah, so I'm like, oh, you want to guess what's popular? I don't know.
No, that would have been great. I would have loved to see Derek as Gertrude Stein. That would have been the best. And maybe we'll see that Halloween. Like, again, we're just starting the Halloween season. And we will see Danae's costume towards the second half of the show when we share our interviews from the speakeasy. Plus, you know, like, we're going to show the really turkey donut video from Ethan and then our interview with the director of the Saw film, which is out in theaters right now, Spiral. But first, we're going to talk a little bit about the convention scene, horror conventions, because it's one thing that I've also missed. I know that all of us, we kind of all became friends through conventions, whether it's Comic-Con or those types of conventions. But I know that, Katie, you and me and Luke, and I'm not trying to leave you out tonight, it's just I haven't attended a horror convention with you, but we kind of like have also bonded with our love for like Monster Palooza and Midsummer Scream and some of the Southern California horror conventions. And it looks like we're going to get some of those. I know that by the time we're posting this video, me and Luke will have gotten back from the Days of the Dead convention in Las Vegas. We're going to have some special reports. You guys be checking those out soon in a special podcast dedicated to that. But July 29 through 31, Midsummer Scream. Luke and Katie, why is this such a cool convention?
First of all, it did get canceled.
Wait.
It's not happening.
No, are you kidding me?
Let me double check, but as far as I know, I looked it up right before the show, it did get postponed.
Well, I know it used to be earlier in July.
Yes, but...
Yeah, look that up for us, and then... Because there's a couple of other conventions that I was confused. Like, there's a StrangerCon convention, and that is supposed to be hitting Los Angeles July 17th through the 18th, and then a Supernatural convention supposed to be hitting June 25th through the 27th up in San Francisco. So, that one has not been canceled, but I kind of think it might.
It's a little tricky because when you go to the Midsummer Scream site, it says July 29th, 31st, 2022. So that's probably what you saw, Jim.
Oh.
It did get postponed until 2022 due to COVID. But I know you have it on the run sheet. They are doing another event.
Okay, tell us about it.
So unfortunately, Midsummer Scream is a massive horror convention that we've all gone to here. And it's actually delightful. But
just now found out it got canceled.
Yeah, it got canceled. And so it'll be next year from July 29th through 31st, which is my sister's birthday weekend. But anyway, so one thing they are doing this year, though, which I find very intriguing because, you know, as much as I love Christmas as much as everyone, I love still being able to celebrate the spooky side, especially from like October 31st till Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So they are doing in December 17th through 19th, like a week before Christmas, Seasons Screamings. It's at the Pasadena Convention Center. It's the same people, the producers of Midsummer Scream, and they're doing a holiday horror convention where you'll find scores of spooky stocking stuffers, wandering evil elves, and other monsters taking a break from winter hibernation, and so many other not-so-nice surprises. You can sign up on their site, I believe, for more info when it comes out. So if you go to the midsummerscream.org website, you can sign up to get updates about it because they haven't announced the special guests yet. They haven't announced vendors or anything like that. I'm really excited about this because I don't actually know think that they've done this before. I think this is the first time. And I like the idea of having a spooky holiday. I mean, one of my favorite, you know, holiday movies that's been out recently is Krampus. I mean, it's great. I like that combination of the two. And Nightmare Before Christmas. Who can forget about Nightmare Before Christmas? So.
This is kind of like I've noticed in like the past 5 years, and maybe it's been going on for longer, that for some reason around the holidays, a lot of the haunts that are usually open around Halloween, they'll open back up for like a few days around the holidays because people go home for Christmas, they gather with their friends and family, and they want to get away from the family a little bit and go do one of these haunts. I just think it's kind of crazy. It's a lot of fun. So I'm not going to go over a lot of these things that are listed as horror conventions because I'm not sure. Because of what I just said, I'm not sure all of these can be verified to be happening. I do think that Texas Frightmare Weekend, September 10th through 12th, is still happening in Dallas, Texas, as of now. But remember, Texas is one of those states that's a little bit more open and open to some of these conventions. We're here in California where the guidelines are a bit more strict. And so Midsummer Scream, which I love that convention. Hopefully we will see the Christmas one. It's kind of cool. Like, this isn't as cool, but like it's really close to Comic-Con having their small convention in San Diego right after. It's like two weekends before that down in San Diego, which is crazy. Also, Spooky Empire in Orlando, Florida, October 22 through 24 of this year probably is happening. And then here's what's interesting. Like the big haunts here in Southern California, there's three biggies. There's Universal Studios Hollywood, we're going to talk about in just a second. There's Knott's Berry Farm, which surprisingly is the longest running of all the haunts. Knott's Berry Farm itself is opening up May 21st with May 6th for pass holders. But there's no word yet on Knott's Scary Farm happening, their big haunt this fall. So I love Knott's Scary Farm. So I'm hoping something happens. If it does happen, it's probably going to be in a truncated version of it, kind of a stripped down version. But then here's the thing about Disneyland, which always has a really cool couple of events every year. They had their own halfway to Halloween event, an online event. It was a social media production, included self-guided tour of Disney's haunted attractions. They announced that the Muppets are doing a brand new Halloween special. Yeah, at the Haunted Mansion.
I'm so excited for that.
Isn't that awesome?
It's amazing.
Oh, but they also announced that in Florida. What was that, Cheese?
Grim grinning ghosts come out to socialize.
Oh, I can't wait. Oh, you know they're going to make the Muppet heads the ghost. That would be great. But they did announce that in Florida, they're having something called the Disney After Hours Boo Bash, which basically is taking the place of the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party that they have at the Magic Kingdom every year. They're not having as big of a presence, but they're still having it. They have not announced anything for California yet. You know, out here's where we had the Oogie Boogie party at California Adventure. It has a lot of live stage shows and parades and stuff. If we do have something out here in California, they probably won't be that big. But Katie, have you heard any rumors or anything yet? Because I haven't heard anything.
No, I haven't heard anything yet, but I think that's because right now, you know, Disneyland's only open to California residents and limited capacity. And so I think that they have to wait till other guidelines come out, forecasts and all that different stuff. There's so many political things involved that they haven't announced it yet. And they've only been open for a few weeks now. So, you know, there's a lot of testing that has to be done, I'm sure. And I mean, usually I think Haunted Mansion normally goes down pretty soon after the summer, I think, or during summer. I can't even remember when it goes down.
For Haunted Mansion holidays.
Yeah. So I'm sure they'll try to do something. But the thing about Disneyland in particular is even if they obviously they need enough time to do the whole operation that is switching it over from Halloween to Christmas and to Halloween. it's a big ordeal, but if they could announce it and 2 days later, the tickets will be sold out. So I don't think it hurts them at all to wait to announce it other than their operations standpoint, because people will go. People will go. They're going to be happy to go back, hopefully. I mean, Disneyland has been, still people have been going back. It's been safe. So I think people are more willing to ease out to go without now. So.
Right. I agree. One of the giant haunts here in Southern California that we kind of have a little bit of an idea about, nothing official has been announced, guys, nothing official, but all the haunt community is talking about the spec map, the speculation map that has been released by some of the fans that usually put together a spec map for both Orlando Halloween Horror Nights and for Hollywood Halloween Horror Nights. And they have a list of houses which are probably happening. The thing is, this is usually pretty accurate. It's not exact, but they usually get some things right. And a lot of people thought that Halloween Horror Nights in California might consist of maybe two houses this year. No scare tram and everything. But we're going to go through this real quick. And Katie and Danae and Luke, you guys feel free to chime in about this. So let's start with the houses. So the map was released. We will put this on our website as well. Texas Chainsaw Massacre is one of the houses they are saying they're going to have this year. It's going to be, it's in the tent beside Revenge of the Mummy down in the lower lot where construction has already begun. By the way, a lot of this speculation is based on they're already building some of these things. So let's hope that this is pretty, pretty specific. What do you guys think about that one?
I mean, isn't that when Universal gets like the most of its traffic is for Halloween Horror Nights? Like if you're going to open up anything there, like, I mean, they're already open carefully. So, I mean, like the best thing that I think they can do from an operations standpoint is to open and have these Halloween Horror Nights. But yeah. I've never seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre, so I'm not sure what would be in that tent. A little out of
a lot of chainsaws.
JCL.
Yep.
Leatherface has been at Horror Nights a lot before. This is not new for Universal. So it's not surprising. It's pretty predictable. Not saying it won't be popular. It really just depends on how they execute it, because when it comes to the Titans of Terror, people are very critical and they don't want to see the same thing that they've seen a million times. So, but one of the best things about Universal is the chainsaws. I think everybody can admit that chainsaws is awesome. So that one fits very well, because it's easy to.
So I'm gonna speaking of the Titans of Terror, speaking of the things we like to see every year, I'm gonna zoom through the houses which are based on popular franchises real quick and let me know what you guys think about it. So one of my favorite franchises of all time, Halloween, has a house possibly this year, but it's Halloween 3 Season of the Witch, which is construction is underway right now in the Waterworld queue. We'll come back to that in just a second. Here's a big one that kind of sort of debuted last year for a day or two, but that's about it. Beetlejuice. This is a big anniversary year for Beetlejuice, and talk is that Beetlejuice, a new film is coming out.
Said it three times.
Oh no, he's here, which would be cool. Here's one, the Walking Dead attraction. I thought that the Walking Dead permanent attraction, it's already left Universal.
It did, but the building is still there.
Okay, cool. So this is probably going to be it. This next one I would love, The Haunting of Hill House. After the success of Stranger Things, fans have predicted that Netflix would be eager to work with Universal again. So they look like it might be coming to Soundstage 29. And then, let me see. For the those are the houses based on properties. And then for the houses.
There's one more on there.
Wait. Which one is it that I missed?
Five Nights at Freddy's.
Oh, wait.
Five Nights at Freddy's is a video game, and it is a very, very popular video game.
I've never heard of it.
Especially amongst young children. Weirdly, it is a horror game. I watched my first stream of it the other day. I haven't played it, but it has a lot of potential, and it's interesting because it is very popular among children. Children at Horror Nights can be a touchy subject depending on your viewpoint of it. So it's going to be very interesting. If that is, in fact, a maze, that could bring in a lot of people. It's a very popular game.
And just so you guys know, as more announcements are made throughout the year, we are going to be jumping on them and talking them to death. So this is just a preview of what we think is happening. The other houses that have been speculated to be this year at Halloween Horror Nights, The Curse of Pandora's Box 2, which is a sequel to The Curse of Pandora's Box, which was a house at the 2019 event. They're looking to see if the sequel will be in the Curious George tent. Also, The Bride of Frankenstein Lives, which this is one of the two houses that operated daily at Universal Studio Orlando Resort last year as like a trial balloon. We missed it because we went to the wrong park. We went to Islands of Adventure instead of Universal Studios. I don't know what we were thinking, but the looks is that it's coming back this year. And then Scare Zones, let me see. Oh, it looks like some Scare Zones and live events might be cut way back because of COVID restrictions this year in Hollywood. But it does look like some of the attractions that will be open, Simpsons Ride, Jurassic World, the ride, Transformers 3D, and Revenge of the Mummy, the ride. The Jurassic World is so special because, what was it, Katie? You said, what do they do during Halloween Horror Nights? Don't they turn the lights off and you do it in the dark?
With the old ride, they did. I don't know if they're doing that with Jurassic World, since Jurassic World is new. Especially since when they reopened a couple weeks ago, it has been updated. The ride has been changed a little bit and fixed, got some better things. So, but usually, yes, usually it is Jurassic Park in the dark in the past. But now that it's Jurassic World, I don't know. Because there is some technology that they wouldn't be able to do if it was in the dark, I don't think. But yeah, we'll see. If they do the ride in the dark like they did for Jurassic Park, it is terrifying.
Me and Cheeseman, we met some friends last week. Was it last weekend or the weekend before where we went to Universal Studios? Luke?
It was a week and a half ago.
About a week and a half ago. And
it was, yeah, the weekend before last.
You got about a minute here. Describe what the experience was like.
Long lines, and I'd probably rather go on a weekday at this point. Just
we waited. How long did we wait?
Well, Jurassic Park, the ride can fit like 25 people on it, but like they only put like 6 people on it. So like
we're
not getting the capacity of the rides because they're spacing everybody out. And then if there's only like one or two people in your party, you get your own row. And then there's only 2 rows for like a 5-row ride. So that really slows things down. But still fun to go. Disney's done it better at Disney World because I've been there and it just felt like it functioned a lot better. But even the ride was even a longer wait than what was listed as like 2 hours, ended up being 3 or more.
And yeah, we waited for round one too. Yeah. So we are going to go to both Universal Studios Hollywood and Universal Studios Orlando. So we'll be talking about both of those locations. I really can't wait to get, guys, we haven't had Halloween in a year and a half now or longer. Oh, it's been longer than that. It's just been crazy. No. Yeah, I don't know. I can't count right now. All I know is I'm super excited about it. Universal Studios is always a great place to get your Halloween jonesing on. I love it. I love it. I love it. Does anybody else have anything? I did have to say this. According to CDC guidelines and opening guidelines, I was listening to another podcast today who is part of this, the big festival we're part of, the Haunt Attractions podcast, that in Florida, as long as 50% of people, it appears, are vaccinated, according to some measurements, all mask guidelines are gone. Like you're open as long as it's 50% outside. But then once you hit 80% vaccinations or 70 or 80, I think 70%, then that's herd immunity and we are good to go. So guys, get vaccinated. Come on, everybody. Let's do this. We can do this. And I do also want to say that your vaccination choices are yours alone. Don't let somebody shame you or whatever because of your vaccination choices. We encourage you to do it because we want to save Halloween and our lives, and we want to get back out there. But again, we are not the people that are scolding you. We just, we're just here with you. We're here with you. All right. Listen, finally tonight, before we show you our interview with Darren Lynn Bousman, we want to share some really funny halfway to Halloween fun. First, our super cool friend, Ethan Barrett, himself a brand new dad. Congratulations, Ethan and Tiffany. He has a very funny Halloween video that he created for his YouTube channel called Turkey Donuts. If you ever wanted your mind blown with some of the craziest Eric, what's the style of comedy, Luke? Tim and Eric.
Tim and Eric, Adult Swim type humor.
It's like you're watching this fever dream of craziness, and I love every bit of it. So watch this cool video we have from Ethan. And then straight from that, we're going to jump into our halfway to Halloween speakeasy interviews.
Hey guys, it's me, Sigmund. See? You probably didn't recognize me because I have my Halloween costume on. You know what? You need to get yours on to... This is Halloween season, and you're invited to my super spooky Halloween party. There's gonna be dancing, snacks, and maybe even a little romance. What else do you have going on? It's not like there's other parties all the time. Come on over. If you have another party, you can go to that one and then to mine. Don't wait for your other friends. Come to my party. You can invite your friends too. It's a good party you can come to with lots of music and snacks. Frightening and blood-curdling costumes. Girls, no sexy costumes. Hope to see you there on Halloween night. On Halloween night. My address is...
Alright, that's it, kid.
What?
Sorry.
What are you doing?
You only paid for a minute.
Wait, just a second.
If you want more time, please. Pay me some more.
I don't have any money, sir. Would you mind waiting, please?
I've been given the challenge to embarrass Luke as much as possible. So, it's halfway to Halloween. We're excited. What are you most excited about, Star-Lord?
I'm excited about seeing some nice costumes. Can they top mine?
I don't know. Can they top mine?
I don't think so. You got a little chocolate milk on your lip.
Oh, no. I grew this special for tonight. So, yeah, we're gonna talk to people because it's halfway to Halloween. We're outside. We've missed, we've missed two St. Patrick's Day, one Halloween because of the Big C. And we're going to make up for it now on April 30th because it's halfway to Halloween. If I were to ask you, standing right now, what am I dressed as, what would your answer be?
Oh, my God. I was going to say Sherlock Holmes for a second, but...
That's close enough. I do have a deer stalker. But, no, I love that answer.
I was hoping you wouldn't ask that because I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be on a spotlight and I want to know and I would look like an uncultured swine. So what are you dressed as?
No, I'm Ernest Hemingway. I just wanted to pick on you.
You said it. Oh my.
What candy are you excited to eat?
Ooh, unfortunately, I'm not excited for any candy because no sugar for this.
So sugar is bad for you, so you just drink alcohol instead?
Yeah, you know, like, alcohol sugars are totally fine in my opinion. But if I were to almond joy, like, you know, the ones you get at Whole Foods that have, like, less sugar, because, you know, those are...
Because you're 87?
Yeah, I'd be like, would you like some, what is it? What is it, butterscotch candies? Actually, those are really good, though.
Or those candies that are shaped like strawberries?
Yeah. Wait, which ones?
Strawberry candies that old people have.
Oh, yes, ones that look like strawberries.
Derek, how old are you really?
Can I ask, would you like to guess?
I mean, your looks tell me you're like 30, but your answers tell me you're like 85.
I am 29 years old.
Oh, cool. We're so close in age. Hi, Eiffel Tower.
So who do we have here? What are we dressed as, Machine Gun Kelly?
How'd you know? It's totally me. I'm Tiny Tim. That's it.
He obviously fits on your shoulder.
And God bless us, everyone.
What's your favorite Halloween candy?
Ooh. Well, when I was a kid, it was all about those little double bubble, like bubble gums, and you'd eat like five or six of them in one sitting. And then there was the raspberry blow pops. You know, those are classic stuff there. But I'd have to say, you know, the Reese's eggs are always Reese's. Oh, Reese's are good too. Reese's. The eggs, we've talked about this. That's not Halloween, so that's not really fair.
There's no wrong way to eat a Reese's.
Reese's. And then anything else? Ooh, the Twizzlers. The little two-pack Twizzlers. I know. Call me crazy. I love it. The texture.
Did anybody else here drink soda out of a Twizzler? I used to use it as a straw. Did you know? Yes, the Red Vines. I did that while watching Mighty Ducks 2. Mighty Ducks 2. which is a series out right now.
All-time favorite movies. The second one in particular is one of my all-time favorite Mighty Ducks movies. That one.
It's Knuckle Puck time. Yeah. All right. Now, what do we have here? Do we have some hosts of themselves? Who are we partying on with right now?
Party on, guys!
How long did it take you to learn Stairway to Heaven?
Like 2 seconds.
Two, yeah.
Like I can do it right now.
Yeah.
Killed it.
Now, speaking of biggest highlights of the year, we are pleased to see somebody out of their cage. Literally, we have the Tiger King himself here making America great again with more tigers on one shirt than a whole zoo can have. How are you doing today, sir?
Doing fantastic. Better than Carol Baskins, that's for sure.
Do you have better dance moves?
Probably not.
I kind of missed that. I need to go back and see it, but is she still worth disappearing?
Yes, absolutely. She needs to be gone.
Happy halfway to Halloween.
Yes?
You
Halloween.
You have an amazing, you have a great roommate, but who's your best friend?
My best friend is a squirrel named Rudy. He lives in that tree right over there. Every morning he chirps in the window for me to come feed him some peanuts. I love Rudy.
What was that?
I love Rudy.
That's beautiful.
The way I met Rudy was I was asleep on this couch and I had accidentally left my patio door open. I wake up and there's a squirrel at my feet just chirping and jumping in that plant and I had to chase him out. And we've been best friends.
But he came back to you after you chased him away.
Anybody comes back if you feed them. You know?
I mean, that's what brought me back.
I know. If you made the best cookies tonight, I'll come back over and over again for those cookies. Yeah.
I make good cookies. So tell me about your costume. Where is this from?
I have lost part of it. This is a tiki shirt from, what's that movie? Monster Squad. It's my Monster Squad. But actually, I'm wearing it because it's my tiki. It's my St. Patrick's Day outfit. I'm talking! It's my St. Patrick's Day. I am the leprechaun who has missed 2 St. Patrick's Days, and I am upset about it.
Do we have the great Bambino herself, or pretending to be? Can she hit a home run?
I hit a home run. I don't really know my character very well, so tell me, but I heard I'm cool. I heard him, you know, I can shoot really good. I mean, hit really well. I can hit really well.
Now, if a boy with glasses was drowning in a pool, the opposite thing, would you give them mouth-to-mouth?
Of
to save their life?
Oh, definitely. I mean.
Now, we have the biggest costumer of all here, right here beside me. We have John Wick himself. How are you doing today?
John Wick, working on number 4.
Have we had number 4? What are we on right now? 10? 11?
I'm working on number 4 for Wick and number 4 for Neo, actually.
Okay, yeah. And maybe Bill and Ted, Something Strikes Back again or something.
We just released that.
Yeah. Well, I did, but there should be another one. That's how I feel. Hello, Danae.
Back to
hey,
you.
How are you doing?
I'm great.
Miss Hemingway.
I mean, yeah, so.
Be lucky that you were not a Miss Hemingway, because that was a difficult journey for most.
It was.
She's not Miss Hemingway.
I'm Ernest Hemingway.
Hot dog lady, come over here.
I've jumped in a couple times.
Yeah. Why is there no ketchup?
I don't know, but it's terrible, isn't it? I'm
kind of bothered there's no ketchup.
There's
She's relishing on this.
There's relish on here, and I've actually never... I don't like relish on hot dogs. I actually don't even eat hot dogs either.
What?
I'm a pescatarian.
Whoa. Don't they make, like, out of soy or something by now, I'm sure?
Probably. Yeah, I think so, but I don't eat that stuff either.
You're missing out. I'm saying you take that to a ball game, you stick that in your pocket, and you sneak it in.
Ask me about my wiener!
From the movie Accepted, another great one. Is this Marty McFly?
Well, technically, I'm Smarty McSly. I'm Marty's younger, less-known brother who didn't make it into the movies, which is why I've got the long hair and the glasses.
So you're the one that made the millions off the almanac.
I made millions and millions and millions off the almanac.
That's the richest people in the world can dress like this.
Pretty much, you know, when you're that rich, you just get to dress the way you want. You get to walk as slowly as you want. You get to pretend that you have a handicap with the brace, and
it talks for itself. Hey, how's it going? Now, do you Pert Plus?
Do I what?
Pert Plus.
Do I?
That shampoo?
I use Pert Plus, only Pert Plus.
He does have fantastic hair.
Thank you.
Thank you. I wish I had more. Hey, Panda Boy, come here. Now, this guy is the king of Panda Express, so why not, when it's your favorite restaurant in the world, dress like a panda. How are you doing today? And you are no stranger to the Scare Guy show. Are you Mr. Tony B. Tony? How are you today?
I'm feeling great. Feeling great out here. Having some brewskis. Survived the pandemic. Everything's great. I'm a panda. The best thing I want to be, the only thing I want to be, the best.
A pandemic?
You know what's up.
Oh.
Y'all thought it was a bat? A pangolin?
Oh. It was a panda the whole time, the pandemic.
It was right in front of you. The first half of pandemic is panda. We will rise.
Tell us a little bit about the Scare Guy show. This should be your show, man.
Yeah, the Scare Guy show was very entertaining. It was so informative when it came to conventions, specifically horror conventions that you guys would always hit up. That was always awesome to hear about all the guests that were going to be there. You guys have the lowdown when it comes to everything horror, when it comes to the convention sense, even movies as well. I always chimed in with the movies too, myself. I was a movie nerd, yeah, horror movie nerd for sure, through and through.
Luke and Danae, tell us real quick kind of like how the party went, what the interviews were like.
I had so much fun. I mean, you guys were the ones that hosted the party. You just let me come and hang out with you, which was awesome. And I mean, that's the first time I've ever shut down a cheese fry party. So that felt like a big deal to me. but it was just so much fun. Like, we had the deck open, pretty much everybody there was vaccinated or a part of our pod. Mm-hmm. So you're being careful. And it was just a great time because, you know, everything has been so crazy for the last year. And it was so nice to just get together in a costume and just have a good time with people that you love and to awesome friends. So thanks for doing that. Thanks for hosting for us. And, yeah, it was just a great time of silliness. I don't know what else to call it.
That was great. Cheeseman, do you have anything else to say before we kick over to the videos?
It was just a lot of fun. It's fun improvising and just you never know what people are going to say, especially at a party with friends. So, it was fun. I didn't know I'd be doing some of the interviews, but it was fun just kind of improvising doing it.
You did a better job than I did, so we'll put it there.
Yeah, we both did good.
You guys did great. It was kind of a tough crowd because people didn't realize they were getting interviewed, and you guys just kind of went out and come here and talk to us. And we got some good stuff going on. It was great. But listen, thank you everyone for tuning into our Halfway to Halloween show. We have so many more shows coming up. We are just kicking off the Halloween season, and we couldn't be more excited. Before we share our fun interviews, please, everybody, let's go around real quick. Cheeseman, and then Katie, and Danae, where can people find you online to find out about what you're doing during this Halloween season? Cheeseman.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at CheeseOnCouch, and also on thescareguy.com and their Instagram.
Katie.
You can find me on all social media, including Twitch, at KT_Christine, also on the Con Guy and Scare Guy social media as well. And I also write articles for that hashtag show. I don't know what I'm doing for the spooky season for it yet, but I'm currently reviewing Batwoman and Riverdale. So you can check those out too if you watch the shows or you just want to read me critique and give my opinions on them.
Nice. Danae.
You can find me on Instagram at DNAYS, also posting for the Con Girls on Instagram. And thank you. Yeah, and Katie's on there too. Kate, if I can point.
I know, it's so hard to reverse. Yeah.
So point. so hard to point. Yeah. So you can find us both on there on the Con Girls on Instagram, and you can find me occasionally on TikTok at Whiny Danae because I like to drink wine and complain about things on there.
All right. And let us, as the Scare Guy team, be the very first to wish you, probably not the first, but we're going to do it anyways, Happy Halloween. We hope you enjoy these interviews and these videos. Have a good time, guys. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you soon.
Seance is going to be in theaters this Friday, May 21st. It is written and directed by Simon Barrett, and the plot is Camille Meadows is the new girl at the prestigious Academy for Girls. Soon after her arrival, six girls invite her to join them in a late-night ritual, calling forth the spirit of the dead former student who reportedly haunts their halls. But before morning, one of the girls is dead, leaving the others wondering what they might have awakened. All right, and joining me now is writer-director Simon Barrett. Welcome, and thank you for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hi. So we have a seance. We have a girls' school. Why this story, and why now, and why those details?
I mean, great questions. I will say that I don't tend to write in a very calculated way. But, you know, with seance, I wanted to do kind of an old-fashioned, like, classical supernatural murder mystery, just that being a genre that I always loved. I didn't really feel like I would probably be able to get like the budget or maybe even have the resources to do something too extreme. So I wanted to do more just a kind of a small character-based story. And that really was it. My mother, when I was growing up, wrote mystery fiction. And so I just read mystery fiction constantly from literally as long as I can remember, particularly, you know, authors like Agatha Christie and Georgette Heyer and stuff like that, Sarah Caldwell. And so I just kind of have that, I think, in my brain a lot. And I did work as a private investigator for a number of years, but it was totally different.
That is a bit of a gear shift of careers, but inform each other. Sure.
Yeah. It was really a day job while I was trying to make these like indie films, but I got lucky that it afforded me a lot of freedom and now makes for an interesting little bit of trivia occasionally in interviews.
Now, speaking of previous films, you've worked on The ABCs of Death, VHS, and You're Next, as well as The Guest more recently. What made this shift for you of like, I'm going to write a feature now, and then this is also your first feature directing job. So congratulations. That's very exciting.
Thank you so much. I mean, the honest truth is, and this is a film that you and I were discussing a little bit before we went on air, I wrote Dead Birds in 2002, or actually, I think 2001, for myself to direct. I thought I'd written basically about a $60,000 horror movie that I would shoot myself on 16mm back in my hometown in Missouri. And that was how I planned to do that. And I sent it to a friend who I wanted to act in it. He'd started working for a studio in Los Angeles. And he was like, we probably would buy this from you and attach a real director to it and make it as a real movie. And I was like, oh gosh, yes. Like that would be wonderful. Like I got paid $25,000 for that script, which was life-changing. At that point. I mean, it really like allowed me to exist. Thank you. Yes. And so like, I mean, that was huge. I mean, that was such a stroke of fortune. I'm so grateful, that happened to me, but then I became just a screenwriter, right? Cause I had no directing work and I didn't have any money still really, cause you know, student debt and all that. And so I ended up kind of being, kind of feeling a little like I didn't really know how to fit into Hollywood at that time, because it was a lot of movies made for the DVD market. So I started making independent films with Adam Wingard, and that was much more creatively fulfilling because I'd be very involved in those productions. But as the budgets got bigger and there was less and less for me to do as a producer, I started to feel just kind of like a writer again, sitting, you know, eating craft services, like while Dan Stevens does push-ups next to me. I kind of was just like, well, I need to get back into it. Adam's going to do Death Note. I knew that was something that would involve me. And so when Adam was doing Death Note, I kind of was like, I'll make Seance. And instead, it took me like four more years to get it together.
Now, with your previous films, they kind of touch upon supernatural-ish. I don't want to spoil it for those films. This one, you dip into it a little bit more. Was that something you wanted to bring more into your films? Or what caused you to want to add the supernatural element in a bigger picture?
You know, I don't know if I'm a great, like, pure horror filmmaker. I suspect I might not be. I see a lot of Junji Ito hardbacks on your shelf there. Junji Ito, to me, is someone who really understands horror. like can create an image that just like you wish you could forget it, you know, obviously.
This is true.
And I don't, that's not really my thing. I like to kind of mix genres, and I like to kind of approach things from a character perspective, but I love supernatural horror. So, but I think I just have, I have a lot of confusion in horror movies as to the rules. Like, look, I really enjoy the Conjuring movies, but I don't understand why the ghosts are like scaring these people if they could just kill them. Like, why are they throwing them against walls or scaring the camera if they could just make their heart explode? Like, I don't know what the rules are. So I wanted to do a film that had a supernatural element, but one that felt limited by like kind of practical reality. And because I enjoy supernatural movies, but I didn't want it to be confusing what the ghost could and couldn't do, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. Nice. And speaking of ghost seance, and we just saw a picture of them doing the seance, your film has a lot of really cool effects and kind of stunt work as the film progresses. If you want to talk about how you achieve those effects, and was it important for you to be more on the practical side of effects?
Maybe is the answer to that. You know, Seance was a fairly low budget film, and we only had 22 days to shoot it and 4 weeks of prep, which was even less than we had for like Your Next, which was a lower budget film. But because Seance was full union up in Winnipeg and we were doing it a certain like more legitimate way, you know, it was a very tight shoot. So I knew I had to be very judicious about my like special effects moments and my stunts, because they take a long time. You have to do them very safely. That takes time. You don't ever want to rush anyone before a special effect or a stunt for various reasons. And so, you know, so I had to be really judicious about what those were. And I tried to think of things that would look impressive, you know, but maybe would be a little easier than people think. With like some of the fight stuff in the film is, you know, like that, you know, they're not really coming that close to each other. You know, we're using trick camera work and stuff to get through those scenes quickly, because I could really only afford to do like one or two takes of a lot of that action. Plus the actors start to get tired, and you start to worry about them slipping or hurting themselves. So I've trained in martial arts at a school up in North Hollywood for the past 20 years. And I, you know, I've become kind of like associate instructor there. I have black belt degrees and I guess like four different martial arts now. And so that kind of physicality, and I'm working with our stunt coordinator, BJ Vero, like he and I were basically able to do the fight choreography collaboratively together,
cool.
Working with the actors and kind of also seeing, like, I wish Anana was here, because I could really compliment how she fights. Cause like she trained in boxing a lot. She's a southpaw. She has a great left. So kind of, as soon as I saw how she moved, I was like, oh, well, I just am always going to have her like punching people in the face, cause she looks really good when she does it. So it's kind of finding what like people could sell in their physicality. Like, cause Madison and Suki didn't have really any fight experience, but so, you know, so we found some stunt doubles but like, fortunately I had just enough experience with fighting and falling down myself, that I was able to really talk to BJ and be like, you know, like let's do the half speed version, let's do the 3/4 speed version, and then let's like, and then we'll roll on 100%. And ideally we just get one take of this, the Jackie Chan method, and we're out. And then Jackie Chan, of course, sometimes will do thousands of takes, but the idea is to rev people up so your actors aren't going 100% again and again and again. That's also how Gareth Evans directs, like with films like The Raid. He's a friend, and I was able to pick his brain a little bit, even though Seance is obviously not like The Raid.
I was also going to add, I'm like, Jackie Chan's also pretty much broken every bone in his body, too.
Well, I mean, the challenge with Seance was not getting like Suki Waterhouse to do these things convincingly.
Right.
It was getting her to do them convincingly and not injure herself.
Yes.
Because she would go, like, there's a scene in the film where she slams against a bookshelf and slides down. And like the first time she did that take, I was basically like, okay, we're not doing that too many more times. Cause like I told her not go 100%, and she seems to be going about 200%. Cause you know, she's in the moment and she wants to look good and cool. And so she's slamming herself into this thing and like knocking her head against each shelf on the way down. And the take was like unusable cause my cameraman couldn't follow her fast enough. You know, it was just one of those things where you kind of have to like, you have to modulate, but Jackie Chan lives a life of agony, but he's given us so much great art.
Yeah. If you are a fan of gore, the climax is probably where there's the most action in gore, which looks really great, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
There's some moments where it's just like, and some that there's one moment I was like, oh, I hope they're gonna, and they did. So I was like, yes, something with a bookcase. So we'll just say that. Be on the lookout.
Yeah, well, you know, that's one of those things where, yeah, I wrote that gag into the script and then realized that, like, I'd written something really challenging. So I'm glad you enjoyed that.
No, it looked great. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
And now, is there anything else you'd like fans to know about the film while we're wrapping up here?
No, I mean, you know, I think my goal with Sans was, you know, to make, I think with my first feature, making a horror movie, I wanted to create a horror movie that's like almost a feel-good horror movie. So I don't want people to necessarily go into Seance expecting like a punishing experience. I know that like with films like VHS and VHS 2, you know, I've done some kind of extreme horror, or Adam and I have definitely dabbled in kind of extreme, you know, gore horror at times. And this was just a different project. I was trying to do kind of a more classical, you know, sedate murder mystery to a certain extent. And so I think as long as people don't expect, you know, an insane bloodbath, hopefully they'll be happy. I don't know. But maybe, I don't know. I worry about not giving horror fans as much extreme content as they want. But that wasn't the story I wanted to tell. So.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about horror. There are so many facets to it. So this is just one of them. Yeah.
I like that very much about the genre.
Yes. Right? It's like, that's what we all love about it. Now, where can people find more information on you and keep up to date with what you're working on?
I'm on twitter.com, sadly. And as much as I say that I will leave, I probably won't. And that's a really easy way to keep up with at least how depressed I am on a day-to-day basis, if not actually what I'm working on. And of course, Seance is on, you know, whatever VOD provider is most convenient to you.
Yeah. And the film will be available in theaters, on digital, and on demand starting on Friday, May 21st. And real quick, I give you a chance to plug that there will be a live screening in Arizona.
Oh, yeah. We're doing a couple of Q&A screenings in Los Angeles, in Glendale on Friday and in Beverly Hills on Saturday. And then in Tempe, Arizona, which was the only place in the world that showed Dead Birds in a theater. So I'm very excited to visit on Sunday. And then Kansas City on Wednesday. And that'll be the end of my hastily conceived Seance road tour that I just came up with yesterday morning.
Well, it's a nice couple variety, you know, a few places that people can check it out, or on digital and now on demand. So, well, thank you so much for talking with me about Seance.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate you having me.
You can find me over here at Carrie D. Lane, all on the social media platforms. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you next time.
What made you want to return to Spiral, and like, what did you want to do differently that you've learned through all your years of filmmaking that we can maybe be excited to see? Like, mainly, like, what made you want to return, and what did you want to do new with it?
Spiral is such a different movie for me. You know, I've really got into immersive theater recently, which is this, you know, it basically, immersive theater is like The Game. If you've ever seen the movie, the Michael Douglas film, The Game, mm-hmm. do that. We basically put on these elaborate, insane narratives that take place in the real world. So I was doing that for years. I wanted to come back, and I got offered to come back to the Saw franchise. And do it correctly, do it right. And what I mean by that is, when you do a movie like Death of Me, you know, you go into it wanting more days. Like, I think on Death of Me, we had 20 days to film it. We had maybe 2 weeks to prep it. And so that's hard. That's hard because you have to sacrifice a lot of what you want. You have to sacrifice a lot of ideas that you had to be able to make the thing work in the schedule you have. On something like Spiral, when they called me, they said it was kind of a 1-2-3 hit for me that made me say yes. We have 6 weeks of prep. We have 45 days of shooting. And we have Chris Rock and Sam Jackson. And I was, how can you say no to that? I mean, there is no way to say no to those three things, because you're kind of assured when you have that much time that you can do it correctly, that you can light it correctly, you can rehearse it, you can get the dynamic shots for it. So I think that was exciting for me, because it's been a long time since I've had that as a filmmaker. I mean, you can't see my office because this is locked in. Now I can't even move this, but I was going to show you on my posters. If you go back through, like, when I made Saw 2, I think we did it in 24 days. And then Saw 3 was like 30 days. And then Saw 4 was like 35 days. Then Repo was like I don't know, two months of filming. And then it was like, I went to do a movie and I did it in 18 days and then 17 days and then 19 days. And it became progressively less and less time to make movies. And it became harder and harder to the point that I was just like, fuck, I need a break. I can't do this. So being invited back to Spiral, where I knew I had the resources and tools to do it correctly, was something that was very, very, very exciting to me.
And I take it you're very excited about it, and we should all be very excited to see it, which I am.
It's awesome. And Chris Rock and Samuel Jackson, Max Minghella, Maricel, everyone in it is just fantastic. I could not be happier.
I have to ask, though. I mean, you've worked with quite a few actors, big actors, lovable actors, but Chris Rock, Samuel L. Jackson, please give us a taste. What was it like working with those guys?
There's a picture of me that you can find online where I'm sitting in between those two guys, and I have the dumbest look of bewilderment and excitement on my face, and I think that's what it is. Every day I was like, how the fuck am I sitting here? And I'm sorry for all my swearing. But
oh,
I was,
yeah, G-rated podcast. We forgot to tell you.
Oh, G-rated. I
just kidding.
It was insane because every day I was like, how am I here? Why am I here? And then I was just smiling because, like, as a kid growing up, so a couple of things. One of the first movies that really had an impact on me, I'm not saying it's the first movie that I loved, but I'm saying the first movie that had an impact that I was like, I want nothing outside of being a director was Pulp Fiction. Yeah. I remember in high school sneaking out, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 times in a week to go see that movie. So you're getting to stand there with him. And then Chris Rock has got to be one of my all-time absolute favorite comedians. And he's a director as well and an actor. And to be standing here with these two iconic legends, it was insane. It was great. And by the way, they're both the most professional, amazing actors in the entire world. So to be working with them and to have them actually listen to what I was saying was crazy.
Yeah. Have you seen Chris Rock at all in Fargo yet?
I watched it last night. Yeah, it's great.
The guy's amazing. Like I love Chris Rock. And Samuel Jackson, I had the honor to, like, interview him one time, and his persona is big, but what a quiet, gentle person sometimes when you just get a chance to speak with him.
He's not a scary guy. He's a scary guy as a director because you realize this guy's been in, like, I think there was a study, a thing done recently about who one of the most profitable actors of all time is, and it's Samuel Jackson because he's on every one of the Marvel movies. So when you do his box office, he is the biggest, like, box office draw in the world. And, you know, he walks in and he's Samuel fucking Jackson. And, like, there was many moments that I was just terrified because I'm like, I'm standing here with he's bigger than life. He's nice, but he's bigger than fucking life.
Oh, yeah. You did mention how the movies stop. You did mention we're down to, like, our last few questions here. You did mention how the movies are completely different. However, there is something that's very similar about your latest film and the Saw franchises: the puzzles, figuring things out, and it's more of the mystery aspect of trying to figure out and be clever and you have to be smart. So many movies are just about running, screaming, don't go in that dark room. But can you talk a little bit about what is it about your films? You like to structure them around these mysteries.
It's not even mysteries that I'm structuring them around. It's funny. I just wish you guys could see my office because a lot of stuff would make sense to you. But let's see if I can have any here. I've gotten into magic recently. The last couple of years. It's just card tricks everywhere. It's just decks of cards and magic tricks everywhere you look in my office. And I think that if you go back and look at the Saw movies, they are magic tricks. They are illusions and misdirections about look over here while this is really happening on the other hand. And I think that I've always been fascinated with magic and can you trick an audience? Can you wrap it into a mystery and something that gives hints if you're looking at the right place, but if you're not looking at the right place, you're going to miss it, which is all what magic is. It's the illusion trying to trick an audience so they'll come back again and try to figure out if they can realize what you're doing. And that is what this is. And that's what I think Death of Me is as well. Go back and watch it again. There's tons of foreshadowing in there that you just missed because you're not looking for it. But if you see a magician 10 times, you're going to start realizing, oh shit, right there, right there, right there. I think the same thing goes with these type of movies. Once you see them and you know what to look for, start looking for the setup and you can see it. I mean, for me, Spiral, it reinvents the Saw franchise, yet it leans into what fans love about the Saw franchise. So while it's its own unique, completely independent film on its own, it has everything that fans have come to love about Saw. So I think it'll feel completely new, but it will still exist in the, you know, in the family of what they've come to know and love from past films.